You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanza.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. It is our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We bring it to you all with our unique sense of humor and wackiness.
Yep, you never know what is coming up next. Here on the Crispy Noodle, I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we've got a heck of a show in store for you. A lot of interesting topics to get to. Big week coming up in terms of sports. I mean, we've got everything covered on this show, really, to get you prepared for the upcoming week. But first, let's get some introductions out of the way. How you doing, Mike?
I'm pretty good. This past week was crazy with the amount of snow we had. I ended up shoveling like two or three different times.
What? Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. We had snow though since the last time we were on.
We did.
Gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. They said snow. I gotta get the bread and milk. I gotta get the bread and milk. Oh my god!
Did you have enough bread and milk?
I did, but you know what? The snow offered me an opportunity to finally beat one of 2013's best games. I finally finished Grand Theft Auto V.
Oh, finally!
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to tell you. Yeah, which is relevant because later on we have some Rockstar rumors.
Yes, we do. So we will be covering that in the entertainment entree break.
But before we get to that, how have you been, Rich?
I've been good. During my snow break,
Everybody had a nice snow break, didn't they?
Yeah, I beat Beyond Two Souls, which you loaned
me. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because you can with PlayStation. You can loan games.
Yes.
I know. It might be an alien concept.
I know. In this day and age of strict DRM, you can loan games to people still.
Yeah. And, yeah, you let me borrow Beyond Two Souls. And I liked it. I thought it was a really good game.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoyed it a lot, too. It got a lot of negative critical reception, but I enjoyed it. The story was a little muddled at parts, but overall I thought it was a good interactive story experience.
Yeah. So there you go. That's what we did with our snow vacations.
Random video game reviews in the middle of the introductions. Yep. Why not?
Sorry. We usually save that for entertainment entree, but nah, you know, that's what we did. That's what we were up to because of the snow. It happened like last Tuesday and Wednesday, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It snowed a couple of days.
Yeah. So crazy times here in the Philadelphia area with the snow and extreme cold weather, too. We've been having some single-digit weather lately. It's been crazy.
Yeah, wild weather.
Freezing pipes and causing ice.
It's been awful.
Yeah, so very odd winter we've been having here in the Philly area.
Well, hopefully it'll get warmer in the coming weeks. But you can always look to the crispy noodle to warm you up.
That's right.
That's right.
We'll provide you with all the news and laughter that you need because with the combination of news stories that we got and wacky stuff that's happening in both the entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news, as far as I'm concerned.
The entire show we have wackiness planned, as always.
And unplanned.
And unplanned. Mostly unplanned.
Yeah, it's mostly unplanned.
Let's face it. I mean, these are not very strict outlines we have here in front of us.
No, but that's what gives us the freedom, and that's what our tagline is.
That's right. Unscripted, unplanned, and slightly unhinged.
Yeah.
Might need to change that to mostly unhinged.
Mostly unhinged. 99% unhinged.
1% logic and 99% craziness.
That's the crispy noodle way. But you know what? I say we dive right into the headlines. I think we should do that. Isn't that right, Mike?
I think so, and as everyone knows, we like to start things off here with the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports! But you know what? We have a big issue that's going to happen, so I figure we save the majority of it when we tackle it head on.
Tackle.
Yes, exactly.
Foreshadowing.
That'll give you the hint of what we need to talk about in case you haven't gotten the hint already. But there's something that I personally need to get to.
Okay.
And
this is of personal importance to you.
Yeah. And right. I want to get to it before we forget about it with the craziness that happens on the show.
Right.
And it is personal to me because it has to do with wrestling.
Ah. the sport that provides us with so many funny clips from, and I can't remember his name now. But I'm sure you'll remind me. Ric Flair, of course.
I have like every clip Ric Flair has ever said because he's that hilarious.
My whole career, I've always done better than anybody else. Only because of one reason. I was born with a golden spoon.
Man was born with a golden spoon, all right?
That's pretty impressive.
That should win all awards.
The doctors should have probably checked on why that happened. That's a little weird. But what about modern day wrestling? What's going on that you had to bring this up?
Okay, well, over the weekend, part of what I did over the weekend, I guess you could say, there was the Royal Rumble pay-per-view that happened for WWE.
Right. A pretty big event,
yes,
as I understand.
It only happens once a year, and in this Royal Rumble pay-per-view, there's the Royal Rumble match.
Right.
And what happens is 30 wrestlers wrestle in the ring at various points.
Is this where they each come in one by one?
Yes.
Because I know we play, occasionally we play
the wrestling video games.
Wrestling video games, yeah.
Yeah, this is that event.
Okay.
And there's 30 superstars. They come in at 1 minute intervals. And whoever is the last person left standing gets a world title shot at WrestleMania.
Okay, so this is like the playoffs, sort of.
Yeah. Except if it was all played in one day.
Which is how all sports should do it.
Yeah. How do you like that, NFL? You want to extend your playoffs? No. Condensed it all to one day.
There you go.
So that's the gist of what happens at the Royal Rumble. And since there's 30 wrestlers that are involved in it, and since it's the beginning of the lead up to WrestleMania.
Right.
The road to WrestleMania starts at Royal Rumble.
Okay.
There's usually kind of, you know, surprises that happen. There's an air of randomness that you've got to be, you know, that you want to be in tune for.
Right. A big part about wrestling is the theatrics,
yeah.
I guess.
And there's no other time than the Royal Rumble for it to happen.
Right.
Because you're inviting 30 wrestlers into the ring. So you can
There's bound to be some sort of craziness.
You can draw from, you know, former wrestlers. You can draw from Hall of Famers. You can draw from, you know, commentators are, if they have a number, they're allowed to go into the ring.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the randomness that's supposed to be a part of the Royal Rumble. To give some backstory as to the current state of the WWE just recently rehired one of their biggest stars named Batista. There you go. That's his entrance music. He's a very big guy.
Okay.
And he's recently kind of gone down the path that like The Rock has.
Okay.
He's been trying to convert himself into a movie star.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And
what's his real name? I've never heard of him before.
His real name is Dave Bautista.
Okay. Oh,
he's not very creative.
No, I've never heard of him in any movies or TV shows, so I just wanted to know if he was going by a different name.
Well, the big movie he'll be in is Guardians of the Galaxy with Marvel.
Oh, okay. All right.
So that's why he's getting, you know, WWE wanted him to come back, so they could get some hype with Marvel and all that good stuff. Right,
right. Good advertising.
But what they decided to do was make it pretty much painfully obvious.
Oh no.
That if Batista was coming back, he was going to go for the world title.
Oh yeah. Cause they want to drum up support and get like a, you know, a big marketing deal.
Yeah. And so it was kind of, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound like I'm an 11-year-old that doesn't realize that wrestling is fake, but you know, it was just like, really? Like,
don't make it so predictable.
Yeah. And especially for the Royal Rumble, bottom line is Batista wins the Royal Rumble.
Right. Okay.
And he's going to be the main event at WrestleMania. And I mean, it was just so disappointing that like they went that route that you knew. You knew before the Royal Rumble even started that Batista was going to win it.
Right.
No matter when he came in the 30 wrestlers.
But honestly, what do you expect the WWE to do? You have one of your wrestlers acting in a Marvel movie. You know, how do you pass that up?
Right. So, you know, there's a little bit of disappointment, but realistically, you knew it was coming, whatever.
Okay.
Now, here's the thing that sends it over the edge, and this is why I told you I needed to bring it up, and this is what made the Royal Rumble down from just, to suckage.
Okay.
This brought it down to suckage,
yeah,
right?
Because you literally text me how much it sucked.
Well, here you go. So, first off, problem number one, you knew who was going to win already.
Okay.
Which, that's like the complete antithesis of what you want at the Royal Rumble.
Right.
Number two, they didn't have any, like, special guest entrance into the Royal Rumble. Like, nobody from the Hall of Fame.
Oh, that's boring.
Nobody who was, you know, silent on the WWE sidelines or like a Shocks signing from,
right,
like, a rival wrestling promotion. Sometimes they get that. Sometimes they get a wrestler from either, like, TNA or one of the indie wrestling promotions. They'll sign
with
WWE. And then they make their debut at the Royal Rumble. So
there were no surprises, is what you're saying.
No real surprises.
It was a predictable outcome, a predictable roster.
Yep. And the third strike that this Royal Rumble had against them,
okay,
was one of WWE's best wrestlers and pretty much one of his over wrestlers. This guy is followed so strongly. He might as well be a cult at this point. Daniel Bryan,
okay,
wasn't even invited to the Royal Rumble match. This is his theme music.
Oh, perfect.
But it was kind of sad that he wasn't even asked to be a part of it.
Yeah, that's kind of weird that you wouldn't ask your most, I don't know how prominent he is, but
very prominent.
He is very,
yes,
prominent? Okay.
To show how badly it got.
Okay.
So what I said, the wrestlers come out in minute intervals, right?
Right.
So eventually, you know, it gets to 28, 29, 30. You know when the last ones are coming out, right?
Right, right.
There was hype going that, like, it's going to be Daniel Bryan. He's going to come out at, like, number 30 and
surprise everybody, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were chants. His famous chant is, yes, 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 yes. He does this ridiculous chant.
Okay.
And the crowd was saying, yes, yes, yes. They were getting so excited.
In anticipation for him to show up.
Yep. And then number 30, the gong hits, and it's a wrestler named Rey Mysterio who hasn't been heard of since, like, 2008. No offense to Rey Mysterio.
I remember him.
Yeah? You remember
Oddly him? Enough, yeah, because of the wrestling games we play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He comes out, and no offense to Rey Mysterio. It isn't Rey Mysterio's fault. But the audience just booed and booed and booed.
Gosh.
And no, it kept up.
Oh,
it kept,
man,
up for the rest of the match.
Oh my god.
It was
god.
Embarrassing. Like,
wow.
As someone who is a fan of the WWE and I've followed it for quite some time, it was just, I couldn't believe it. That crowd continued to boo all the way until Batista eventually won the Royal Rumble match.
Wow. And I'm sure then the booing was increased after that.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
And then...
It doesn't look good for the WWE.
No. And then afterwards on social media, there was just so many, you know... Royal Rumble was trending over the Grammys.
Wow.
Yeah. to put things in perspective, all
That's
right?
That's pretty crazy, yeah.
Yeah. The Royal Rumble hashtag was tweeted more than the Grammy hashtag.
Wow.
And it was over how disappointed fans were, just that those three sins were committed.
Yeah.
Three strikes and out.
You know what? It's even more shocking is the fact that wrestling is more entertainment than other sports.
It's sports entertainment.
Exactly. Other sports, you can't, although it sort of seems like the Super Bowl's been rigged to have the top offense and the top defense, you can't really, you know, give the fans exactly what they want all the time. But wrestling is in the unique position where they can.
Yeah.
They can give the fans what they want because, I mean, you know, sorry to break to everyone, but it is mostly scripted, isn't it?
Yeah,
isn't
scripted,
it?
Yeah.
So they can give fans whatever they want. So why would they deny them on three separate occasions? You know?
Yeah. And
that's what shocks me is the fact that they have a lot of control over these things and they still don't do what's needed to make the fan base happy.
And you know what? You know, the argument that some people make is that he was in a previous match or something.
Well, what does that have to do with it,
though? He could come in for a couple minutes.
Don't wrestlers usually wrestle in several matches, or am I completely mistaken?
Not usually? Yeah, it depends.
Okay.
Unless, like, if it was, like, a short match, then they'll come back and do another match or something.
Okay. Well, I don't know these sort of things, but.
But, like, even if Daniel Bryan was in for just, like, a couple minutes in the Rumble, that would have satisfied us. That would have been fine.
Yeah.
And instead, they didn't even invite him to the Rumble, which is kind of shocking.
It's a major faux pas.
Yeah. And then, you know, the fact they didn't have any surprise guests, that was lame. And then we knew Batista was going to win. And it was just like, it just seemed like a pitiful event.
Couldn't they have at
probably
least...
Probably the worst Royal Rumble that they've ever done.
Which wow, is, strong words coming yeah, from a wrestling fan.
Probably, I mean, because, you know, there's supposed to be an air of excitement that you don't know what's going to happen.
It's a and, spectacle.
Yeah, and this was the complete opposite. You knew yeah. what was going to happen. You knew Batista was going
to win. Couldn't they have at least thrown in a twist to
yeah,
Batista
something.
Winning? Like maybe like... All of a sudden, a 31st person jumps into the ring. I mean, it is. Can't they do that? It's entertainment. They can do whatever the hell they want, right?
Well, yeah, they can do whatever they want to according to their, you know.
Yeah, but they write the
rules.
They write the script.
Yeah,
they write the rules. They write the script. They can do whatever they want. They could have had Batista fight a truck for all they care.
Now,
don't take that advice. It's horrible advice.
Now, the one shining moment, I guess you could say, in the Royal Rumble
okay.
was that an up-and-comer wrestler named Roman Reigns.
Never heard of him.
Well, that's because he's literally just starting to get a big push with the WWE. Eliminated, I think, 12 guys.
Wow.
Yeah. How do you like
cool.
that?
That's pretty
broke
cool.
Broke the original record set by Kane.
Oh, wow. See, now that's a cool storyline that at least came out of it.
Yeah. And it's, you know, that was cool that like, you know, we've got to see some new talent and
right.
perhaps he'll be a new, you know, contender for a future world title. But other than that, there was just nothing. It was just lackluster at best. I was very disappointed.
Wow. That's a shame. You know, and like you said, three strikes, you know, three times they let down the fans when they had a lot of control over, you know, these aspects of the match. They could have very easily have fixed these mistakes, but they didn't.
No.
So that's a shame for wrestling fans, you know, all over the country.
Yep. So I just wanted to get that off my chest. The Royal Rumble this week sucked. You didn't miss much.
It must feel good to vent about it.
Yeah. I feel a little bit better now.
Yeah.
So there you go. What I was up to in lieu of the Grammys, because I
cursing at the TV for the lackluster Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
Rumble. Ugh.
We'll get to the Grammys in the entertainment entree segment of the show. But there you go. Just something different to lead off with the sports sampler. Because, you know, why not? Need to have another topic besides the big one that we got to talk about.
Yeah, it's the biggest event in sports every year. Draws the most viewers, the most hype, and the biggest, it's a crazy experience. Everybody goes crazy for it. It is, of course, a super event. It is the Super Bowl.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
Yep, and this is the big one, folks.
This is the big one.
All the season, all of the work, all of the games, all of the stupid analysis that we've done, all comes down to the Super Bowl. One game to determine who leaves with the Vince Lombardi trophy. I can't believe it's already time, to be honest with you.
I know.
This was a great season.
It seems like just yesterday we were figuring out, you know, the Fantastic Four picks, you know, coming up with the structure for that and talking about it. And now here we are down to the very final game of the
21
season.
21 weeks later.
Wow.
Yeah.
Long time.
Uh-huh.
Long time
go.
In the making.
That's how long this season was.
Yeah, and now we have to go how many months until we get to talk about football again? I don't know what I'm going to do, Rich.
No.
Do you remember those early sports samplers? I literally said nothing.
Yeah.
Because it was just
golf.
Golf.
Baseball.
And baseball and wrestling.
Philly's horrible.
Just sitting there like, okay, when do we get to talk about football? Now this is it. This is the culmination of a long, exciting season filled with lots of surprises, lots of crazy turn of events. The Super Bowl, however, kind of predictable. You have the top team in the AFC and the top team in the NFC facing off against each other. But also, I'm kind of happy to see that because it really is the best of the best.
Second Lieutenant Jake Jensen, West Point, graduate with honors. We're here because you're looking for the best of the best of the best. Sir,
Your boy Captain America over here. The best of the best of the best, sir. You know, with honors. You know, he's just really excited, and he has no clue why we're here.
Yeah, but these teams do have a clue. This is the Vince Lombardi Trophy on the line here in New York. Well, New Jersey, but, you know, it still counts.
Yeah, I know. I always get the two mixed up because both the New York teams play there, but it is technically New Jersey.
Yeah, so. The Meadowlands.
The Meadowlands, yep. It's going to be a good one. A lot of hype leading up to this game, you know, first because of the cold weather. Everyone, you know, we just complained about it earlier in the show. Everyone's worried, will it snow? What's the temperature going to be like? Is it going to be below freezing? There's been a lot of talk and debate over it the past couple of months leading up to this, hasn't there?
Yeah, but it looks like we're going to be safe from any sort of snow, at least. It'll be probably cold.
Oh, no doubt it'll be cold.
At least it won't, you know, have any sort of big weather impairment. Because they were talking that, like, if there was a blizzard coming, we'd have, like, Super Bowl Monday.
Yeah, that would not have
that
worked.
That would be weird.
That would be very weird.
Nobody would go to work Monday and Tuesday. I hope everyone realizes that.
All of America would shut down for the first half of the week.
Yeah. And, you know, for those that are interested in prop betting, if you're interested, Vegas is giving 3-1 odds if you still think that there's going to be a random amount of snow during the game. That's a fun part about the Super Bowl is all these ridiculous prop betting.
That is. I'm looking at a list that I have up here, and it's just ridiculous things that you can bet on.
You can do over or under for the kickoff temperature. 34 degrees is what Vegas has set it at.
Yeah, but I'm looking at the...
Vegas has now become weather forecasters.
Well, anybody can predict the weather. No offense to meteorologists out there.
Yeah, take that.
They're wrong half the time, and they still get paid to do their job. If I was wrong half the time, you know, everybody
You'd
else would
be on the podcast. Yeah.
But I'm looking at the really crazy bets, like how long will it take Renee Fleming to sing the U.S. National Anthem?
Yep, that's a classic one.
Crazy, or, you know.
2 minutes and 30 seconds is the line. You can bet over or under.
Will she wear gloves when she starts singing?
And what color? You're forgetting what color. You can bet on the color of the glove. Don't forget that.
I see that right
there. That's very important.
Yeah. Will she forget or omit at least one word? It's crazy. These are brilliant.
How many times will Peyton Manning say Omaha during the game? Yeah. So these are the ridiculous bets that, you know, you can actually do, in Vegas, which, boy, man, if you're a gambler, this must be a tough thing to overcome.
Oh, yeah. I like this one. How many times will Eli Manning be shown on TV during the game? Over under is 3.5. How do you get a half?
Well, that just makes it so that it's either 3 or 4. There's no ties.
Okay. I see.
Yeah.
Or it could. What happens if he's like literally half in the camera frame?
Oh, hey.
What happens there? What happens?
We didn't think of that.
See that, Vegas? You're not so smart, are you?
They only show his forehead. What does that count as?
They only show his forehead. That's Eli Manning's left pinky finger. So I guess that counts.
You know, from his 2 Super Bowl victories against the Patriots. Oh. Sorry, New England. Take that.
They also have how many times will Archie Manning be shown during the TV broadcast of the game?
I like this one. Which song will Bruno Mars perform first at the halftime show?
Oh, wow.
You can bet on which song. The favorite is Treasure. I don't even know what the hell that is.
I don't know either.
And we're supposed to talk about the Grammys and the entertainment entree coming up. Yeah, so there you go. That's where we know.
In podcasting, you make an error. Whoops. What will he be wearing on his head at the start of the halftime performance? Fedora, no hat, fur hat, or... I can't even pronounce that type of headgear.
You also have this classic one. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in his gratuity speech?
Oh, yeah. That's a classic one.
The favorite is teammates, followed by God.
It's always God.
Sorry, God. You're not number one. Teammates is number one.
The fans are in third place, though.
Yep. So that's another good one. And here's my favorite one of this year's Super Bowl, which I didn't see last year, so I'm going to assume this is a new one. You ready for this one?
Okay.
What color will the Gatorade that is dumped on the winning head coach be? You can bet on clear or water.
What?
Orange Gatorade, yellow Gatorade, red Gatorade, blue Gatorade, or if you're looking for the long shot, 10-1 that it's green Gatorade.
Wow.
That's
really weird. What if it's a color that's not up there? What colors does Gatorade come in?
I think those are it. I don't
Are you sure?
I don't think there's not a brown one.
That's kind of nasty.
That's the worst Gatorade drink ever.
Chocolate Gatorade. That sounds awful.
Makes you want to work out and eat dessert at the same time. Brown Gatorade. Chocolate Gatorade. Chocolade. Coming.
Chocolade.
Chocolate.
And then there's dark chocolate.
Milk chocolate.
Milk chocolate. Oh. Hot chocolate.
Then chocolate el cafe.
The chocolate one. Milk.
Oh, God. That would be nasty.
Yeah. Don't, yeah. Gatorade, don't do that.
I think that covers all your bases.
I hope so. I hope there's no other colors that they're forgetting.
Chocolate.
Oh, wow. And they have all these bets for all these random scoring options. I mean, what will the highest scoring quarter be, you know? Or where will there be a score in the final 2 minutes of the first half? You know, very specific ones. Will either team successfully convert a fourth down attempt? I mean, they have betting for everything.
Yeah. Anything that you can think of, there's something.
They have bets on each individual player as well.
Yeah, odds to win the MVP, Peyton Manning's the favorite, 6-5. Russell Wilson, 15-4. Marshawn Lynch, 9-2. Demaryius Thomas, 18-1. And Percy Harvin, 20-1. And then it goes on down there. Richard Sherman, our favorite topic from last week, he's 25-1 if you're interested.
Hmm. Well, if he gives a nice post-game interview, maybe.
Yeah. So, once again, Super Bowl prop betting, you can bet whatever you want to.
Cross-sport matchups. Which will be higher? Gold medals by the USA in the 2014 Sochi Olympics or the first half total points by the Broncos? Oh, wow. I've never seen those before.
Broncos.
Broncos? You think so?
I don't know.
You don't know?
They're all prop bets. You don't know what's going to happen.
Wow. These are crazy.
Yep.
So if you're interested,
you can bet whatever you want to in Vegas.
Yeah.
So that's definitely one part of the Super Bowl we're looking forward to. Another thing is like the actual kind of, party atmosphere of it, you know?
Yeah, there's
it's your excuse to eat a whole bunch of chicken wings and
drink a lot of beer.
Beer, yeah.
Chips and dip and everything else.
Yeah, you got to love that part of the Super Bowl.
And there's so many just watching the TV presentation of it. There's so many events pre and post game and, you know, halftime. It's like one big, huge, long event.
Yeah.
There's so much going on.
Yeah. It really is like a holiday when you think about it.
It is. It's one of the biggest events of the year in the U.S.
That's right. You know,
bigger than Christmas.
Yeah.
We'll
get the ratings in and we'll see how it did with others. Previous Super Bowls, you know, it's ridiculous ratings. Everybody watches the Super Bowl.
Most people watch just for the commercials.
Speaking of the commercials, do you know how much an ad was this year?
Something ridiculous, probably like 100 million.
Not that ridiculous.
50 million.
No, not that ridiculous.
$4.
No, but you have the right number, actually.
Oh, 40 million? $400,000.
No.
You said I had the right number, four.
Yeah, stick with the number.
Four? Million.
Yeah, there you go.
How can I overlook 4 million?
There you go. The answer, $4 million for each Super Bowl ad this year.
But is that 1 minute or 30 seconds?
I believe that's 1 minute.
So $4 million for a minute.
Yep.
So if you're running a small business and you want to advertise during the Super Bowl, $4 million will get you 1 minute.
Our rates are significantly cheaper.
If you want to advertise with us, I broke my pen. I'm sorry.
You're all right over there? Wow.
Oh, it literally fell apart in my hand.
You're too excited over the Super Bowl. Oh!
I broke my pen.
Oh, Super Bowl! Money! Pen.
That was exactly my train of thought.
You're right over there?
Yeah. No, you're right, though. I'm going to play with the piece of pen that broke off now.
Awesome.
No, if you want to advertise with a crispy noodle, our rates are significantly lower than what Fox is charging. It is on Fox this year, correct?
Yeah, so okay. We got to deal with Joe Buck.
God.
Get drunk.
There should be betting on how many times Joe Buck sounds like an idiot.
Yeah.
There you go.
So then why not get to the predictions? Isn't that right?
Yeah. The final pick of the football season.
All right. Let's launch the music. Oh, yeah. We've got the super serious prediction music now.
It is very serious, isn't it?
Well, the Vince Lombardi Trophy's on the line now. I mean, this is it. The culmination of the 2014 NFL season.
Yeah, this is pretty serious stuff.
The last 60 minutes of this season. Trophy on the line.
Oh, boy. It doesn't get much better than this. We have the Seattle Seahawks, who are acting as the away team, facing off against the Denver Broncos, who are acting as the home team, for one final match to determine it all in the Super Bowl, 6:30 Sunday, February 2nd, at MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands. Rich, who do you got?
Who do I got? All right, well, first off, this Super Bowl with the number one defense versus the number one offense reminds me a lot of the Oakland Raiders versus Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl, where it was the number one offense versus the number one defense. Same exact storyline. And in that game, the better defense won over the better offense. And it simply just comes down to the offense and defense matchup usually kind of null each other out.
Right.
And then the team that plays smart and handles the opportunities that are given to them takes advantage and wins that game. If that happens, I'm going to go with the Seahawks.
Wow.
I'm going to go with the Seahawks. Even though Peyton Manning should be able to win this game, on paper, Peyton Manning really should be able to. And the pressure is on him. If he doesn't win this, this is all on him.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm going to go with Seahawks because they've got that shutdown defense. And they've just got to be smart with the football, run it, stay with a traditional offense, pound and ground it. I say they win. I'm also going to predict a score. I'm going to go 27-20.
Wow.
Seattle wins.
All right. Oh, boy. This is the pick that I've been dreading. It's tough, that question between offense and defense. What really wins you championships? Well, historically, it's been defense. I'm inclined to believe that classic moniker, defense wins championships. It pains me to say it because I honestly, this could go either way in my mind.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I'm going to give the nod to the Seahawks. Like you mentioned, if they can control the clock and keep the ball out of Peyton Manning's hands, and if that defense makes one key stop, they could eke out a win against the high-scoring Broncos. Peyton Manning does not perform that well in cold temperatures. Even the games that he won this postseason, both of the opponents, the Chargers and the Patriots, stormed back in the fourth quarter, yeah, which is a little worrying because it shows that the Broncos defense can't lock down an opponent in the fourth quarter. And this is the Super Bowl. I think this is going to be decided in the fourth quarter. I don't think that one team is going to be able to get an early lead. And if they do, then the Broncos will win. But I'm counting on the Seahawks defense to keep the game close. And in close situations, defense usually wins it. So I'm very cautiously picking the Seattle Seahawks.
Do you have a score?
And for a score, this is the tough one. I really haven't thought that far ahead. But I'm thinking it's probably going to be 24-21 Seahawks. I think it's going to be close scoring. I think there's going to be quite a few field goals for the Seahawks, but I think Peyton Manning will get his touchdown passes regardless.
Okay.
So those are our picks. Now, John Bruno didn't provide us with a score, but my brother, our associate producer, John Bruno Costanzo, he decided to go against the grain and choose the Broncos. So I guess he's going with the high-powered offense instead of the defense, which is strange because he's usually a defensive-minded person.
Well, there you go.
Wow. Oh, man. It's crazy. The biggest pick of the year, we ended right as the music ended.
Yeah, that's very appropriate.
I don't know, man. Don't you have almost like a sense of loss now after everything? We made that final pick. That's it.
Yeah, I know. It's been a great season. We've had fun picking the games.
Yeah.
We're about 50-50.
Yeah, usually.
So
playoffs not included.
Yeah, so take our picks and our opinions with a grain of salt.
But I have to say, over the regular season, I think we did an admirable job, both of us hitting over 50% of our picks.
Yeah.
So that was good. But yeah, this final pick, I'm so torn between the two. And it really comes down to the variables. You know, it all depends on whether the Seahawks can control the ball. And it depends on how the Broncos attack the Seahawks, whether through the air or whether maintaining a balanced assault.
Well, if they're smart, they're going to run the ball.
Cold weather, you should run the ball,
and
typically.
That's how you get a great quarterback off the field.
Yeah.
Keep your offense on the field.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you keep running the game. You run the clock down. You keep your offense on the field. Don't let Peyton Manning back on the field.
Right. You know what's interesting about this pick compared to other picks is other picks are, okay, you know, there are definite factors that go into this. But with this, I've noticed there's a lot of what ifs. We're saying what if, you know, if the Seahawks do this, if the Broncos do that. And that's the thing about the Super Bowl is both these teams are such high caliber. That's what makes it so exciting because it could go either way.
This is the number one offense, number one defense.
Yeah, so get ready for, I'm expecting an incredible game.
Yeah.
One way or the other, it's going to be a great game.
Yeah. And this is it. Winner takes home Lombardi Trophy.
It's exciting, but a little sad now that our football season is, with the exception of next week, reviewing who won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we'll know this time next week.
Oh, man, this is so exciting.
But there you go. That is our Super Bowl preview, if you will, and our predictions. And it's finally coming to an end. Oh, bittersweet.
Yeah, bittersweet. Good way to put it.
But, you know, with all that bittersweet talk, I think it's time we take a little bit of a commercial break. We regroup. I know we're almost about to cry here. The football season's
over. But that's all right, because coming up, we have the entertainment entree loaded with news about one of the most infamous figures in music, Justin Bieber, as well as the Grammys and some rock star rumors. Ooh, what's that about?
Yeah, so don't go away. We've got a jam-packed entertainment entree for you after the break. So don't go anywhere. This is the Chris Mutal Podcast.
Attention sports fans, collectors, hobbyists, and autograph seekers. Are you looking for the best in sports cards and collectibles? The only name you need to know is Carl's. That's right, Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA not only has the best collection of sports memorabilia, cards, game, used merchandise, and autograph signings with top professional athletes, he also does custom framing too. Go to carlscards.com or like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Carl's Cards. That's Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road in Havertown, PA. Remember, Carl's, the only and best name in sports cards and collectibles.
Are you in the market for a quality used car? Have problems trusting fly-by-night used car dealerships? Check out Ken Nolan's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales. Ken has been in business for almost 30 years, selling cars not only to people all over the Philadelphia area, but now worldwide thanks to our website at www.plymouthmeetingautosales.com. At Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, we have cars for all size wallets, and expensive cars under $3,000, to classic cars and even dump trucks. Stop on in. That's Plymouth Meeting Auto Sales, 1215 Ridge Pike, Conshohocken, PA, or call 610-828-4427.
It's time to get really, really real with the man, the brand, the artist, Philadelphia's own Realism. The first hip-hop artist to release an album exclusively on innovative USB wristbands. The future of music just got real. Visit 4realism.com, that's the number 4, and also look for Realism on Facebook and Twitter. And get really, really real, and then tell them how you feel.
Have you ever wanted to read a Hollywood biography that really goes deeper than just the headlines? A best-selling author has done exactly that. Guest of Totally Driven Radio, author Sarab Dutt has written the best-selling biographies on Oscar-nominated actor Mickey Rourke, teen heartthrob and star of The Lost Boys, Corey Haim, and has been commissioned to write the biography on Batman Forever star Val Kilmer. Check out these books, as well as his novel, The Pugilist's Son, whose proceeds are going to the Muhammad Ali Center. You can find these fine books on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Waterstones, and of course, on iTunes. Chrissy Biasello, the obnoxious personality from season 4 of MasterChef, now has her own business called the Rotund Chef. You can hire Chrissy to be a private chef. She also does in-home cooking demonstrations one-on-one for you or for you and your friends. If that wasn't enough, she also does catering as well. You may love her or you may hate her, but you will definitely want to cook like her. The Rotund Chef. Look for the Rotund Chef on Facebook for more details. And don't forget to listen to her new show, Fork Off with Chrissy Biasello, every Monday night on the Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, bringing you some heat with the metal. Oh, gotta love Alice in Chains.
Yeah. In direct contrast to some of our talking points in the entertainment entree,
yeah.
Though.
So they're gonna take it. Our wrath of anger is coming at them. This is the entertainment entree!
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Cheeseburger and a smoke the crack.
Wow.
And there you go. It's time for the entertainment entree. I thought it was appropriate to play a wrestling clip
after the wrestling section.
My rant. But I hear you've got a rant on your own.
Yeah, I'm pretty pissed at
this show has been about rants. Yeah. I started with the Royal Rumble and the sports sampler. You've got one for Justin Bieber.
Yeah, this little, can I say dickwad? Or should I not say that?
You know what, at this point, Mike, you can say whatever you want, and I'll just bleep it out, okay?
Motherfucking pterodactyl. That fucking sucked. Well, that little, you know what I just said. Just that fucking sucked. He was, can't get past that now. You turned my rant into a laughing stock. No, it's all right. Justin Bieber was recently arrested and charged with driving under the influence, resisting arrest, and driving with an expired license. Look at that bitch. How dare she? She's so uptight. God.
That's what you said?
Yeah, that is what I said, because just the whole situation just infuriates me, because this little bleep is so
bleep
yeah. Well, you know,
please describe the bleep.
I don't know if you want me to do that. There's a common enemy. Kill him.
Is that what you want to say?
That's a fairly accurate fill in the blank. The audacity of this punk. That's what he is. He's a little punk. He's a bratty, spoiled, whiny, good for nothing bitch. Basically.
There you go.
He was caught drag racing. They weren't even going that fast. 55 to 60 miles an hour. Ooh, what a badass you are. In a 30
yeah,
mile an hour.
Yeah, badass.
Yeah, I know.
Here.
In a 30 mile an hour residential zone. So he's pulled over. This is in Miami Beach. And he failed a field sobriety test. And police reported that he was not cooperative, asking, "What the F did I do?" When they told him that he would have to be patted down, he said, "I ain't got no effing weapons. Why do you have to search me? What the F is this about?" Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. That's probably what he was trying to hide. He was just uncooperative with police. He refused to get out of his car, wouldn't take his hands out of his pockets, and just handling the whole situation with an air of entitlement. Like, he feels like he's invincible to these sorts of things. I don't know why I'm bothered so much by it. I just hate these spoiled child stars, because that's what he is. He's a spoiled child. He's a brat that feels like he can get away with anything.
Yeah. I don't know why he thinks he can get away with things. I mean, I guess he has that superstar mentality in him. But yeah, the bottom line is that what he did is reckless, no matter who he is.
Right.
And
he deserves no special treatment compared to anybody else, but he feels like he's entitled to it.
And somebody on the internet stood outside of the police department where Justin Bieber got, you know, off with the bail or something. You know, he was just able to pay cash or something, and
right,
he got out,
right,
out on bail. And somebody stood outside of that station with a sign that said, "What if this was just, you know, like a black guy, a regular black guy walking through, you know, that was, you know, yeah, a black guy that was, you know, drunk and driving and high. Do you think he would have gotten out on, you know, $3,000 bail within the next 12 hours?
No, definitely not. And, you know, I guess what this is the straw that broke the camel's back, because we know celebrities have been doing this for a while. But to see a punk kid like Justin Bieber do this type of stuff and get away with it, it just really irks me. You know, if this had been any normal person, not even an African-American person, but anybody, they wouldn't have gotten off this easy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting that you bring up that one specific point, because there was an image floating around on the internet humorously comparing our buddy from last week, Richard Sherman, with Justin Bieber.
Oh, yeah.
How people were labeling Richard Sherman a thug. And they had bullet points. He's an all-pro cornerback. He graduated Stanford with a 3.9 GPA. He has no criminal record. And he happened to call himself the best at what he does professionally. And people on Twitter called him a thug. Meanwhile, Justin Bieber, an international pop star, was caught peeing in a bucket while screaming obscenities about Bill Clinton. He was arrested for DUI and resisting arrest. And he stood on a balcony to spit on fans. And he's commonly referred to as a misguided kid. Do you think that's a fair comparison?
No, not at all. And to be honest with you,
and that's what pisses me off, is this double standard.
Yeah, it is. For a guy like Sherman,
right?
You know, he really shouldn't be labeled as a thug when you've got a bratty kid like this trying to appear cool. And And I'm not going the other way either. Justin Bieber's not a thug. He's a punk.
He is a punk.
Yeah.
He's a punk. He's a wannabe, is what he is.
Yeah.
Because let's not forget where he started. On the Disney Channel with his, you know, syrupy sweet pop music, baby, whatever the hell that crap is, you know. Yeah, after ballin', I go clubbing. Then I'm hugging.
Was that it?
Maybe, yeah. And he's just a souped up version of Rebecca Black.
Yeah.
You know?
God.
You know, and now he acts like he rules the world. I think this is good for him to be knocked down off of that. There's talks of him being deported because technically he's from Canada.
Yeah, take away his immigration papers.
Yes.
Send him back.
Scumbag Canada keeps all the polite people for themselves and sends us Justin Bieber.
Was that a meme?
No, but I'm going to start it. It's a good one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's true though.
Yeah, you should put that on Reddit.
I should. Nobody take that. That's mine. I command you. No, but you know, it kind of ticks me off. There were also reports I heard that Usher, the person that helped discover him, was going to stage an intervention for him. You know, he needs one the way he's going. This acting out like he does, you know. It irks me. I don't think it's right. And I think he's an obnoxious little punk.
Yeah, he's just being a jerk. But to be honest with you, it's no sweat off my back. I don't really care.
You don't care one way or the
no,
other.
No, I don't listen to him. I'm not a fan. I'm not a Bieber, whatever.
Bieber? I don't know. Bieber. Is that what they call his fans? Bieber?
Or something. It's supposed to be like a play on Believer. Bieber or something.
Believer?
Believer.
Nice Bieber.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Yeah, is that what it is?
That's what's going to happen to him in prison.
Oh. Nice Bieber.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
Whatever the hell the term is, I don't know.
But you know, I don't know. I just heard about this, and you know, from previous episodes, we've talked about how annoying he is. That one time he touched a Stanley Cup, and you know, whatever else he did, just I don't know. It just pisses me off. Yeah. I get pissed off very easily at stupid people,
as you've seen in our odd news segment. Yeah. But so. Yeah, Justin Bieber takes the cake for this one. Just absolutely dumb thing to do.
Nice Bieber.
No, he's not a nice Bieber.
enough talking about Justin Bieber and his latest run-in with the law before I get any angrier. I figure, you know what, we'll use that to spin off and talk about modern music in general. Recently.
What?
Yes.
What's that?
What's that? What? What's modern music?
Yeah.
Yeah, believe it or not, there are still musicians nowadays, and they produce something called Muzak, where they sing and dance and play instruments. Well, some of them do. Most of them don't.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
Yeah. Never has that sound clip been more appropriate. I felt that way on Sunday when
Definitely.
I was going back between the Royal Rumble and the Grammys. I had no idea what the hell was going on.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh, I guess this is a melody that enters into my ear canal, and I guess I'm listening to it.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
The problem with the Grammys for me is that it's too segmented. Like, you have
yeah.
a whole bunch of rock. Okay, great. Then a whole bunch of rap. All right. Whole bunch of pop. Meh. Then jazz. Then classical. Then vocal. Like,
Rich, you're just scratching the surface. Because before the show, I said, what are we going to talk about with the Grammys? And you said, just the major ones. I said, okay, I'll look those up. I went to the website. This is the drop-down menu for display award by genre. They have alternative, American roots, arranging, children's, classical, comedy, composing, country, dance, engineer, film, TV, media, general, gospel, historical, jazz, Latin.
What's that?
Music video, musical show, new age, notes, packaging, pop, producer, R&B, rap, reggae, remixer, rock, spoken, surround sound, traditional pop, and world.
What is that? I know what that is. That's music.
Apparently all that's music.
So
no wonder it's 4 hours, 5 hours long, however.
They didn't announce many awards, though.
Oh, God.
They only announced a handful. The rest was awful mashups between musicians that should never be sharing the stage with each other.
But, so, that's kind of one of my biggest issues with the Grammy. It's too far specific, you know?
Yeah, it was a little out of hand.
Yeah. But the big headlines coming from the Grammy Awards was the big winners, including Daft Punk and... Oh, there we go.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't know you were playing that. But yep. Yeah, one of our favorite songs.
Our
Get
ending
Lucky.
Song, actually.
Yeah.
We used the 8-bit version, of course.
Yep. And Daft Punk cleaned up between Album of the Year with Random Access Memories and I believe Record of the Year. Did they
yes,
get Record?
Yes, Record yeah. of the Year is, I don't even understand the awards. They got Record of the Year for Get Lucky and they won Album of the Year for Random Access Memories.
Well, I'll explain it to you, Mike.
Okay. Well, why don't you?
The difference between Record of the Year and Song of the Year is that...
Album of the Year. It's Record of the Year and Album of the Year.
Well, yeah. Album is the whole album.
Okay. So what's Record of the Year?
Record of the Year goes to a specific song, and it goes to everybody involved with the song. But
why
then,
would they judge that by specific song, though?
But then the Song of the Year goes to the songwriter.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
another issue that we have with the award show.
It's ass backwards, all right? Song of the Year doesn't go to everybody involved with the song. It should actually be like Lyric of the Year because it goes to the songwriters.
Okay. But why are they using record to describe a song? When they say Record of the Year, but they're talking about one specific song.
Because back in the old days,
back in my day,
when they released a single, it was a single record.
Well, that makes sense. Don't you think they should upgrade it, though, for modern times?
Probably, because, yeah.
Why don't they just call it Wax Cylinder of the Year? Songs okay. used to be on wax cylinders. Yeah. It was a historical reference, damn it!
Yeah, you're going way back on that one.
It was a joke.
Wax.
My point is...
We're also going to get to 8-track of the year, yeah. and...
My point is, why are they using an outdated you know, media format as the standard. Why are they saying record of the year? Why don't they say maybe single of the year?
Because this is the Grammys and they don't change, I guess. I don't know.
And they don't change, I guess.
The award is still a phonograph. All right?
That's true, yeah. The award is a phonograph.
Who the hell has a phonograph? Do kids even know what that is?
No.
They probably look at it and it's just like a horn to them. They're like, what is this strange instrument?
Why do they give out golden horns for these people?
Yeah.
This person's a rapper. They don't use instruments. Back in those ancient days of 1998, when they used instruments in music.
Yeah, instead of computers and
synthesizers.
Yeah.
As we laud the accomplishments of Daft Punk.
Now, I gotta admit, I like Daft Punk.
I like Daft Punk as well.
I'm happy that they won. And for them, it's been a little bit of a long time coming, cause, you know, they came on the scene big when they had One More Time. I was hooked instantly with that song.
Yeah.
And then they made it more mainstream when they teamed up with Kanye West for Stronger.
Better, Faster, Stronger.
Well, that was the original track, and then Kanye did Stronger, and then that exposed Daft Punk to a bigger mainstream audience. And now with this song Get Lucky and Random Access Memories, just glad to see Daft Punk win. They deserve it.
Yeah, and Get Lucky is so addicting.
Yeah, it's just so
feel-good. We listen to it at the end of every single show.
It's so feel-good.
It is, yeah. Very upbeat. It's just a great song.
They're so good.
Yeah, they're so good. That was probably played on a phonograph.
Probably. The quality sounds like it. It's so good.
It's so good.
Speaking of weird, you know who was a little weird? She performed her song that won Song of the Year, Lord, with Royals. She was a little crazy looking, wasn't she?
Just a little bit. What are you pointing out? Like,
no, her performance. She performed the song Royals. Here, I have a sample of it. Yeah, she won Song of the Year for this song, Royals.
Yeah, I heard this song a couple times on the radio, but I didn't really know any further of her.
Yeah, but her performance, she kind of did this weird like static dance thing going on, and she had like painted fingertips. It was kind of crazy, but the song's kind of catchy. I must admit,
that was when I switched over to the Royal Rumble.
That's when you switched over to the Royal Rumble.
Yeah. But I heard she's really young. I heard she's like 17.
Yeah,
or
she is really young.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But
You know, congratulations to her for winning so young, though.
Yeah. Definitely a strong accomplishment to have that early in your career.
Definitely a major accomplishment. So once again, Song of the Year going to Royals by Lord, and the songwriters. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah,
these awards are so random.
Yep. So there you go. That award goes to the songwriters. It doesn't go to everyone involved with the song. Whereas,
right, it goes to the songwriters.
Whereas the Record of the Year goes to everybody involved with the song.
Okay. You know what's easy to understand, though, is the award for Best New Artist. That pretty much self-explanatory, right?
No, that goes to the oldest artist.
That goes to the oldest artist. The Best New Artist was the Beatles.
Hey! They actually got it in Grammy, didn't they?
Yeah, they did what's his face? Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr performed a new song, which was all right. Yeah. Richard's like, I was mostly watching wrestling. Yeah. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I probably should have caught that.
Yeah, it was okay. It was a newer song. I like the old material better. But you know, talking about the newer artists. Best New Artist of the Year went to Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. As you know, their songs have been everywhere.
Macklemore's everywhere, yeah.
Oh yeah, on TV ads and on the radio, and he performed like two times, I think, in the Grammys. He performed a few songs. You know, I must admit, watching him perform, he's not bad.
No, he's very fast with his rap.
Yeah, and I must admit his songs are quite catchy. Dare I say that I found a modern musician that I kind of don't hate.
There you go. Oh, yeah. I found some music.
Yeah.
What is that?
I know what that is. That's music.
Yeah, I'm not afraid to admit that I think his music is catchy and fun and upbeat.
I like Thrift Shop.
Yeah, Thrift Shop is good.
That's a funny one.
Can't play it. It's got explicit lyrics, but
it's funny.
Yeah, his other ones are really good too. I like the ones that are almost like spoken word poetry. He did that one. Do you see the spectacle where the 34 couples got married?
Oh yeah, that was another big headline from the Grammys.
Yeah, yeah, and it was all about marriage equality, and Queen Latifah did a ceremony, which I don't know, is she allowed to do that?
Apparently she is now.
Apparently she is now. If she wasn't before, she is now.
She's allowed to do it in California.
Yeah, but the song
marriage that is done at an award show is valid in the state of California.
Is that an actual law?
Yep. That's the Queen Latifah law.
That's the Queen Latifah law.
Yep.
The QLL.
There you go.
Queen Latifah law.
Yep.
But it has to be
an award show.
It has to be an award show. Okay. Are all other marriages then null and void?
No, it's another edition.
Oh, so it's just another edition. Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, the point being is that performance I thought was really cool. And I liked the fact that it was almost like spoken word poetry. I thought that was pretty neat. I don't know how those couples felt getting married at an award show. It must have been very nerve-wracking, but also, don't you think they would have wanted a more private ceremony, maybe?
No.
No.
Or else they wouldn't have done it at an award show.
That's true, that's true.
It's not like they're forcing people to get married.
That's true,
I
know.
It's not like there's a gun behind them, like, get married.
I know, but it's sort of, I don't know, I don't know. I guess they did sign up for it, that's true.
Yeah.
It is a cool statement that they made there that night for marriage equality. So that was nice.
If they wouldn't have wanted to do it, they wouldn't have done it.
That's true. I guess you always just think of marriage being a personal thing, you know, instead of a big, huge spectacle for the entire country.
But whatever. Whatever floats your boat at the Grammys.
Yeah. But why the Grammys? They kind of suck, don't they? Couldn't they pick a better award show?
I watched the Royal Rumble over this. All right.
You didn't even watch the Pro Bowl. You went straight to wrestling.
Yeah, that goes to show you how bad.
We didn't even talk about the Pro Bowl.
We didn't even talk about the Pro Bowl.
By the way, rewind. Sports Sampler back here. The Pro Bowl happened.
Whoops.
Whoops.
We didn't even talk about the Pro Bowl. All right, so there's our
list.
I
didn't watch the Pro Bowl, so I couldn't even comment on it.
Rich's list of Sunday activities. Royal Rumble, Grammys, Pro Bowl.
But those are the major awards from the Grammys. Once again, to recap, we had Daft Punk, Get Lucky, win Record of the Year. Their album, Random Access Memories, winning Album of the Year. Lords Royals winning Song of the Year. And Macklemore and Ryan Lewis winning Best New Artist. So those are the four main awards, I would say.
Yeah, they transcend all the genres. Because after that, then you get into the specifics.
Right.
You get into pop. You get into dance. You get into rock. You get into pop. You get into alternative.
Spoken word. Like, children's, yeah.
I'm sorry. That it just gets too muddled.
How many awards
did
they give out? Is there a number? Do we even know?
I don't know, but the list here I have on my laptop is just ridiculous. It goes on and on and on. Like, geez.
Yeah, it is a little overwhelming and just completely out of control.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't listen to all types of music or anything. I'm just saying that for an award show, it just drags on and on. I mean, that's why the Grammys didn't end until like 11:30. On the East Coast when it started at like 7, didn't it? Like, it went on like a full five hours.
It was a long award show.
It was almost 5 hours. Like, geez.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
At least the Oscars only are like 3 or 4 hours.
You don't see the Oscars splitting up films. Oh, best family film, best comedy, best drama, best,
The Golden Globes do, and they pull it out in 3 hours.
Yeah, but, well,
how do they do it?
But they don't divide it the way the Grammys do. They do musical comedy and then drama.
Yeah.
That two categories. And then TV.
Yeah.
But this, it's like they split it up so specifically. It's like really, it gets a little weird at times. I mean,
And here's something. What's the difference between country music and Americana music? What the hell is that?
Americana category?
Yeah. Best Americana song went to Love Has Come for You.
There are awards for notes and packaging, Rich.
What the? I don't know.
What? They got awards for notes, best album notes.
Yeah, because, you know, everyone checks out the little booklet that comes with the album that you buy.
Do they? Most people buy it online anyway. Or steal it online.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. I mean, nobody does that. What are you talking about? Stop it. We do listen to you people. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, yeah. Just every once in a while. Oh, wow. But that was the Grammys.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's a good summation. Yeah. But let's move on.
So there you go. Great. There you go. You needed one of those for a transition. All right. So there you go. Great.
Let's move on from the world of music to the world of video games.
Yeah, now this is exciting. I'm very excited over this announcement from Rockstar Studios.
More rumors than announcements, but I think these are all safe bets, and most gamers can look to see all these coming to fruition in the near future. Rockstar announced its plans for, not announced, but there's been some speculation on their plans for 2014, the biggest of which is that Grand Theft Auto V, the biggest game of the year, is expected to release on the PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. So analysts are saying that it's definitely going to happen. The PC version has accidentally been posted online several times, actually. So people know that it's coming. It's just a matter of when.
Well, yeah, they would be idiots to not make a PC version of it. PC gaming is
still... It's such a huge portion of gaming, right?
Yeah, it's still the strongest market out there for games. Because, you know, people can mod their computers to perform the highest resolution they can, you know?
Right, right. And it makes sense for the game to be brought to next generation, or I guess now current generation consoles. With all the added horsepower and features, it would be foolish not to. I mean, could you imagine having the share button for your playthrough of Grand Theft Auto V?
Yeah, so you have the How ridiculous great that moments.
Yeah. One time I did at least three or four complete flips in a car after I hit, a telephone pole or something. You know, that'd be great to hit the share button on the PlayStation 4 controller and immediately upload that for everyone to enjoy. So I think Grand Theft Auto V would be a great addition to the new console's libraries.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely. I wish I had waited to buy it and play it. But I couldn't resist. I had to. It was a great game. And you know what? We'll soon be able to experience more of it, because there are also rumors that major Grand Theft Auto V downloadable contents are planned in the near future.
Yeah, I don't know how well you've played the Grand Theft Auto online portion of the game.
Just a tiny, tiny bit.
There's a section of the city that's fenced off.
Oh,
and
really?
And it says that behind it is a casino.
Oh.
I'm hoping that there's going to be like a casino add-on.
Well, you know, in the single player game, I found that casino. I said, oh, I'm going to go in the casino. Nope. Couldn't go in.
Well,
there was a horse racetrack. I said, oh, I want to bet on horses. Nope. Couldn't do that either.
I'm hoping that's what it is. It's one of the packages for Grand Theft Auto Online coming this year.
So you think online, but not single player?
Probably not. It seems like it would be more advantageous that you could have multiplayer, and you could do poker games, and you could do, horse racing and another, cooperative games of chance.
Yeah, man, that would be so much fun. I'm just thinking that the last Grand Theft Auto, Grand Theft Auto 4, had several story expansions, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. It had the Ballad of Gay Tony, and the Lost in the Damned.
That's right, the motorcycle Lost in the Damned, one. Yeah.
So yeah, there was definitely a further story content to add,
and there's definitely parts of the story that they can expand on in Grand Theft Auto 5. We could perhaps go back to North Yankton.
Yeah, it is in the game.
It is in the game. And it's, if you go into the map when you're in that section, it's a pretty big environment. And I tried to drive down one of those side roads and it promptly told me mission failed. So, there's definitely more to explore there. You could also, follow up on I can't remember his name, the Spanish gang, leader, Madrazo, I think.
Yeah.
You could follow up with him. That was kind of a loose end left, Let's
put it this way. If Rockstar didn't tie up a storyline, it means that it could be coming down the road with these expansions planned.
Right. It's in the pipeline, as the analysts say. But the biggest news coming out of Rockstar is the possibility that a Red Dead Redemption sequel is in the works, potentially for a 2014 release.
That's nuts.
That is the biggest news, in my opinion.
Yeah. That dropped my jaw to the floor when I read that.
We've always talked about wanting a sequel to that game.
Yeah.
It's one of our favorites. I think it's safe to say one of our favorites of the past generation.
Yes.
You know, it really brought Westerns to a modern audience. I don't watch Western movies or TV shows, and I played that game and I loved it. I spent so much time just, you know, messing around in the wilderness and hunting animals and riding horses. And the story was incredible. So I think gamers everywhere are excited for a possible sequel.
Yeah. I'm definitely excited to see where they go with it. Though I think it's going to be tough to top Red Dead Redemption.
Definitely, definitely. I'm thinking more of a prequel than a sequel. I think a sequel would be difficult to pull off.
Yeah, because it does come towards the end of the Western era.
That's the whole point of it.
The Red Dead Redemption story comes at the end of the Western era. So, yeah, it would make sense to do more of a prequel than a direct time sequel.
Yeah, definitely. But there's a lot of stuff that they could do. They could also do a game that's set during the same time as Red Dead Redemption, perhaps focusing on different characters. So there's definitely room to expand that universe, in which direction we don't know yet.
But the bottom line is that for all you Red Dead Redemption fans, there's going to be a sequel. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I'm super excited. You know, it makes sense for Rockstar to continue that brand. The game sold so many copies, and it's one of those fan favorites. It's definitely a smart move from a business standpoint to develop a new game in that franchise.
I agree as well. I'm just, you know, as long as they put together another solid story, I'll be down with it.
And you know Rockstar always handles that stuff pretty well, judging by their other games, Grand Theft Auto and L.A. Noire and Red Dead Redemption. So I have full confidence that they will do another great game.
Yeah, so it'll be very interesting to see where they go with it, you know. I'm excited.
As all gamers should be. I know I am.
So there you go. The big rumor mill from Rockstar churning out these headlines. Can't wait to see what they come up with in 2014. Especially with a new system they can work with, you know?
Yeah, with a whole bunch of new opportunities opening up for them. It's going to be a good year for them, I think. And a good year for gamers because of it.
That's right. So there you go. Keep your eye on the Rockstar the Rockstar development of games. Oh, but that's a lot of gaming talk. A lot of
music.
Music. I don't even know what music is. It's escaping me so much. But you know what? With that, I think we need to take a little bit of a commercial break before I mess up any more of my words. But don't go anywhere, because we've got the non-fortune cookie odd news coming up. And that's Mike's favorite part of the show.
That's right. I can't wait. A bunch of wackiness awaits you.
That's right. You never know what's coming up in the odd news, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Please join the Millbourne Fire Company at their annual fundraising event. All money and contributions are tax deductible. The event is going to be held on Saturday, March 8th, 2014 from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. at the Liberty Bowling Center, formerly Garris, at 6505 Market Street in Upper Darby, Pennsylvania. Your purchase of a ticket includes food, beer, bowling shoe rental, and door prizes. You must be over 21 to consume alcohol. We also have an ad book and are asking for sponsors. So if you'd like to advertise for your business or just want to buy a page and a book to write us a message, this is a great way to do it.
For tickets or more information, please contact Sandy Archie at 610-441-3968 or email her at sandy1027@comcast.net. Please mention this ad when you contact Sandy. The Millbourne Fire Company is an all-volunteer company and relies on funds from the community to operate.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
It's time to feel the chill in the air, not just outside, but inside as well at the Springfield Ice Skating Rink. We offer lessons, ice rentals, parties, and we are also available for fundraisers. We're also open for public skating every Friday and Saturday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. and Sundays from 2 to 3:30 p.m. That's the Springfield Ice Skating Rink, 400 West Sproul Road in Springfield, PA in Delaware County. Go to SpringfieldIceRink.com for more details.
This is Bay Ragney, Totally Driven Radio and Entertainment for Vidian Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Are you looking to buy a new car or replace your current vehicle? Or are you looking for a dealership that's just going to give you the exceptional service you deserve? You've come to the right place. Vidian. That's right, Vidian has been serving the Delaware Valley with new and used Chrysler, Jeeps, and Dodge cars since 1954. That's 60 years of service. With such customers as Philadelphia Eagles Jason Kelce, Sixers coach Brett Brown, plus former Eagle and the Jeep Genie himself, Hollis Thomas. Vidian's also partnered and provides the official vehicles for the Cole Hamels Foundation. Not only all that, but I myself, Bay Ragney, am a customer as well. I just purchased last week a 2014 Dodge Charger RT from Vidian. Vidian also works very close with all the first responders, police, fire, EMT, and all branches of the military. Vidian has a huge selection of new inventory and close to 100 pre-owned vehicles in stock to choose from. Vidian is totally driven to earn your business and give you the best deals on your car purchase. So go to Vidian.com to see their inventory or any information on all the sales they offer. Plus, you can just stop into their showroom at 4951 Westchester Pike in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. Remember, if you want to get driven and stay driven, do it with Vidian.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Oh yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're recovered from that entertainment entree segment, but now it's time to get even wackier. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Ooh, odd news!
Wow. Somebody's excited.
That was from the gut.
That was. But you know, I'm excited for the odd news too. As everyone knows, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. It's the R's. Read, research, and react.
That's right.
And of course, I don't know anything about this section. Rich you know, keeps it all from me so that I'm completely surprised and my reactions are my gut reactions.
Yeah, Mike has no idea the stories that I'm about to read him.
Yeah, and every time we start up the section, I'm a little anxious, a little frightened of what might happen because sometimes it's crazy, but I'm always excited. So let's start with the first story. What have you got for us, Rich?
All right, here's our first story. We're going to keep up the Super Bowl theme.
Okay, Super Bowl's a good direction to go in.
A New Jersey mayor welcoming the Denver Broncos to town for the Super Bowl was asked to get out of the way so that, quote, John Elway could meet the real mayor.
Who messed that one up? Awkward.
The Denver Post reported that the Broncos arrived at the Hyatt Regency in Jersey City Sunday night, and John Elway, head of the Broncos organization, was approached by a man who just held out a piece of paper and asked for Elway's signature. The Broncos media relations director, Patrick Smith, stepped in and told the man that Elway did not have time to meet with him and that Elway had to keep moving. He has to meet the mayor of Jersey City.
Oh,
the
boy.
Man turned out to be the real mayor of Jersey City.
How did he handle this? Did he joke around about it? Did he like, surprise, mofo, that's me?
Well, yeah, they did take it in stride. The man replied by revealing himself as the actual Jersey City mayor, Stephen Fulop.
It was planned. He had like a big reveal, didn't he? It was like a spectacle, wasn't it?
Well, he was asking Bronco to sign an official declaration that welcomed the Broncos to Jersey City. And he did sign it, and everything was resolved.
Well, that's ended on a high note, at least.
But yeah, you know the actual mayor was mistaken for a fan.
That public relations dude, that dude should be fired. Because your job should be to know what this guy looks like. So when you go to meet the mayor, you don't mistake him for some regular, boring New Jersey person. Sorry, no offense, New Jersey.
All right.
I'm sorry.
There goes all our Jersey listeners.
Bye.
You escort them out. Bye-bye.
Get out of the way so I can meet the real mayor. No, but, yeah, I'm just joking. But that public relations guy should, you know, at least know what you're doing. If you're going to be in charge of public relations, you should know who you're there to meet.
Yeah.
And not brush aside the mayor.
The actual mayor.
Yeah, the actual mayor to get to who you think is the real mayor. How embarrassing is that?
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad.
And enough to make it for our first story on the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So things are looking up.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to go but up, right, Rich?
Sorry, Jersey City. All right, ready for our next story here?
Of course.
49-year-old Diane Freelove of Rochester, England.
Freelove?
Freelove, yes.
Okay.
She says that she suffers from chlorophobia. Do you know what that is?
Fear of chlorine?
No.
Colors?
No.
Chloroform?
No. That would be a legitimate fear.
It's probably something ridiculous, like cheese or something.
Close. This is the fear of newspapers.
How is cheese close to newspapers? You just wanted me to stop talking.
Yeah, I wanted to throw you off.
Oh, my God. Fear of newspapers, and her story was printed in a newspaper.
Yeah.
You want to read your story? No, God, please! So, wait, why is this newsworthy that she's afraid of newspapers? Is that the whole story? Local woman afraid of black and white print.
Well, Diane Freelove has been afraid of newspapers for 25 years.
Wait, not her whole life? Did she get attacked by a newspaper?
Well,
did she have a bad incident where it like cut her on the finger, a bad paper cut? Like, why 20? She's 49, right?
Yeah.
So she went, 24 years without being afraid of newspapers? So something in her 24th year of life shocked her so badly. It's going to be something awful, isn't it? I'm making fun of this. This is going to be something really sad.
No.
Okay.
But she said
her father was bludgeoned to death by a stack of newspapers.
A tragic newspaper accident.
But what, I'm actually really interested. What did happen? Do they give us an explanation?
Not exactly.
Oh, God.
But she says that she can't stand the look, the smell, or the touch of a newspaper.
It's true. It is dry paper. I don't like that aspect of it.
She says, quote, when I visit a shop, I walk as far as away as I can from any newspapers or a newsstand. I can't go anywhere near someone who has a newspaper, and if they approach me, I freak out. At one time, I could touch a newspaper as long as I knew I could wash my hands afterwards, but now I can't even look at them.
So is it a germ thing, or she just doesn't like the feel of it? Because I admit newspapers kind of have a nasty feeling, but not one that I would like run away from or scream about.
She says, I don't like the feel of them. If I touch a newspaper, it feels like my skin is going to crawl, and I can't stand the smell of it, which is quite strong and distinctive.
Okay.
She says she doesn't know what started her fear of a newspaper, but she says that when I was a child, my mother would hit my father over the head with a newspaper.
Well, there you go. See that? I was joking about them being bludgeoned to death. The next line is going to be, and he died.
And he died in a tragic newspaper accident. Oh, those newspapers. We didn't know it was going to cause that much damage.
When people told the joke about what's what red, black, and white all over.
Red and white and black all over.
I can't even get the joke right, goddammit. Anyway, so she doesn't know how the fear began, and she just started hating newspapers for no apparent reason other than the smell and the texture. That's pretty weird. And I'm surprised they have a word for it. They have a phobia for everything, you know?
Yeah, Chloe phobia.
You know, that's funny. I was recently reading something, I think it was on BuzzFeed, about weird phobias. And the phobia for, like, long words was, like, the longest word you could possibly imagine.
No.
And I could just imagine the people coming up with those names being like, ha, screw you.
You're going to have to deal with it.
Yeah. To tell people what your phobia is, you have to torture yourself psychologically.
Sounds like something from Saw or something.
Yeah.
If you want to escape this test, say this really long word without a glass of water. And now, you have to say this really long word, but you're not allowed to take a breath or a sip of water. Say it, or you will die.
You will never escape the room. Say the word! Say the goddamn word! It's actually a line in Reservoir Dogs.
Is it?
Yeah.
Say the goddamn word! Yeah. You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
That's right. Oh, that's the major spoiler, isn't it?
No, wait, what?
I'm thinking of the wrong section.
It's when he first gets shot, when Mr. Orange first gets shot, and he's like, you're going to be okay, say the
You're
going to be okay, say the goddamn word! You're going to be okay.
Say the goddamn word, yeah. You're going to be okay! Oh, God!
That's a good movie.
Yeah.
Say the goddamn word, yeah. You're going to be okay! Oh, God!
But, so, what's her name? Free Love?
Yeah.
She's dealing with her phobia of newspapers, right? Did she cancel all of her subscriptions?
Yes.
Or is there just a massive mound of newspapers on her front lawn?
Yeah, she can't stand to have it anywhere near her site.
Okay.
All right, you ready for our next story here?
Wait, there's no resolution to that one?
No, that's
it. She goes on living in fear of...
Yep.
Of the daily news? People don't understand how hard it is. I can't read the funnies. I can't read the sports. It's just torture looking at that black and white print. Every Sunday is a new hell in newspaper land.
Newspaper land?
Why are you living in newspaper land? You're afraid of newspapers.
That's the worst move ever.
Somebody didn't think that one through. Oh, boy. All right, well...
Say the goddamn word! Yeah. You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
What's our next story?
All right, let's get to our next story here.
You never know which one's gonna strike a chord, do you?
No. You never know.
Who would have thought it was the newspaper one?
Well, how about this one? Let's try this one.
All right.
A Kansas man was examined by paramedics after he ran back into a burning house... to save his precious Xbox gaming console from the flames.
Amen, brother.
You understand completely, Mike?
Oh, yeah.
There you go. He unlocked an achievement.
Achievement unlocked. Stupidity. He ran back into a flaming building to grab his Xbox.
Yep. Authorities said that the man inhaled a lot of smoke when he re-entered the home after the fire began around 3:30 a.m. last Friday morning.
Why didn't he just grab his Xbox as he was running out the first time? I guess he forgot, you know, trying to save his life and all.
Yeah, you know,
life.
You know what? This can be used as an argument against video games. People could say, oh, you see that? Video games make people make their sense of reality all warped. They think they get extra lives, but they don't. It's creating an age of stupidity and whatever else those crazy people say against video games. Okay.
You get an achievement.
Achievement. Ranting.
The man was okay, but his house was burned down.
The important question, did he save the Xbox?
Yes, he did.
He did?
The Xbox was okay.
Is he back?
The Xbox is okay, everybody!
Oh,
it's
my
right.
God. Oh, man.
I'm so worried about the Xbox!
I thought Master Chief was gone forever!
I had 80 hours devoted to Mass Effect on it! I was Renegade status 12.
Better question. Is he up and gaming again?
Yes, he is. The Xbox was okay.
Oh, wow. So he's back wasting time in Halo and Gears of War. That's good to know.
Yep. Firefighters are using this story as a reminder that everyone should get out and stay out if your home is on fire. No item is as precious or valuable as a life.
Is this really something that they need to reiterate?
Apparently they have to.
Well, yeah. Some guy going in after an Xbox. Yeah. Wow. Like, hey, folks, if you die, you cannot play games either. You know, maybe, like, let the game console go and perhaps buy a new one.
Yeah, you can always buy a new Xbox console. You can't buy a new life.
No, you can't. Unless it's one of those cheap iOS games that charge you for everything you do, then you could buy an extra life.
The fire was blamed on a faulty electrical junction box.
It's because of the overload from all the gaming.
Maybe. But he's okay, luckily.
Was it a 360 or just a regular Xbox? Or was it an Xbox One?
I think it was an Xbox One.
Oh, one of the new ones.
Yeah, so maybe he spent money on it.
Yeah, probably dropped several hundred dollars. Didn't want to lose it. Mm-hmm.
But still, if you're in a fire, you should get out, period.
Yeah, definitely. Don't. Public service announcement from the Crisp Noodle Podcast. Don't run into burning buildings for any reason. I mean, unless you want to save
Unless you're a firefighter.
Unless you're a firefighter. In that case, please run into more burning buildings. Save us.
You're the only one that gets to go in.
Yes.
All right. How about we get to more traditional odd news?
Is there such thing as traditional odd news, Rich?
A little bit.
It usually involves drunken, naked people, correct?
Well, that's a start.
Oh, wow. Not drunken, drug overdose, right?
Well, here you go. Let's go with this one. 79-year-old Spencer Toner was caught red-handed in a McDonald's drive-thru while he was watching porn and touching himself in his car while waiting for his food.
Wait, really? You're in the drive-thru, you're like, oh, man, I got 30 seconds to go. Well, we're going to load up the porn and start jing off. I mean, come on. Really? Come on. You're there for 30 seconds. You don't even have enough time to get your money out by the time you go up to the next window. And you think you're going to, you know, crazy.
Oh, I just want Bruce Lee homie.
He's a fast shooter.
You know what it was? Oh. That was a good one. That was a good one.
The Florida man.
He didn't get secret sauce on his Big Mac because he has his own, right?
Oh.
You know what he was? He was just really excited about the food.
The Florida man was arrested for viewing pornographic photos on his laptop.
He had his laptop with him?
Yeah. He pulled it out.
What's next? He's going to bring his whole desktop computer with him? A box of Kleenex? What the hell?
The problem was that it was also during the day and children were around the area.
Well, there you go. Classy citizen. Where was this?
Florida.
There you go. Florida. Explains Florida. It all. It's always Florida.
It's always Florida, man.
I made a crack at Jersey people. Let me tell you something, Jersey. You have a lot going for you when you compare to Florida.
Toner reportedly closed his laptop and rolled down the window when a deputy knocked on his car.
The deputy's just been standing there for like 2 minutes.
The deputy said that when he opened the window, Toner's pants were unbuttoned and there was a white rag between his legs.
Oh my God.
Toner told the deputy that he was homeless and living out of his car. The cops told him
that. But he had enough money for a laptop.
Yes.
And to keep it charged.
Yep.
Oh, all right then. And to buy McDonald's.
Yep. The cops told him he was under arrest, but Toner allegedly told the cops that the cops are invading his privacy since he lives in the car.
Oh, my God. Oh my God. I wonder if he could have an actual argument for this.
Well, Toner was nevertheless still booked into the Lee County Jail
on
indecent exposure charges. No word on whether or not he will fight it with that argument.
He probably will. There's nothing that these depraved lunatics will do, or won't do, rather, to get off with getting off. Really, though, he couldn't just wait? Like, you're about to eat anyway. Like, you know, it can be messy, so, you know, you don't want to make a mess before you eat, you know? Finish your meal first, and then drive around the corner where there aren't kids playing outside.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Can you avoid that?
This guy's an idiot. This guy's so stupid.
Yeah. And living out of his car.
Jeez.
This is my privacy.
What a classy individual.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So.
You ready for our next story?
Yeah. What else we got?
Things are going to get even better.
Oh, so more naked people touching themselves at McDonald's. Oh, at Wendy's this time. Oh, an orgy at Burger King. Why didn't you say so? How did things get better from this point, Rich?
All right, here's our next story.
By better, do you mean worse or actually better?
Here we go.
All right.
So here's the first line of the story.
Oh, God.
So a naked man walks into a bar with a bag of sex toys and asks, what's the problem?
When you go in someplace and you have to ask, what's the problem? The answer is usually whatever you're doing.
The joke seems that it was already set up when David Shuret allegedly walked into a bar, naked from the waist down, carrying a bag of sex toys.
Well, at least he had a shirt on.
The punchline never came. Police say that
the punchline's when he got arrested.
Police say the 51-year-old waltzed into the White Hart Ball in a state of nakedness and carried a bag of sex toys with him. He then turned to the customers at the bar and said that if anyone has a problem, they can take it with them outside.
What was his goal here? Did he have any sort of agenda?
No, he just wanted to walk on by naked with sex toys. Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Just
visit our concession where you'll find something to please you. Our foods are fresh and tasty. Our drinks, satisfying and refreshing. They're so good.
I've heard this establishment's drinks are so good.
That's exactly what he said when he walked in there. Come to my concession stand. You can get a foot-long hot dog. Why would he do this? What's the point?
Well, the bartender didn't even call cops until Shuret walked out and allegedly approached a group of kids outside.
Oh, God.
Again, yeah, kids. What is it? What? Get away from the kids.
Really, people. Sick bastards.
That's when the cops arrived on the scene. Officers searched him and found that there was illegal amphetamines, clothing, and sex toys in the bag that he was carrying.
Well, at least he had his clothes with him.
One of the clothing items was a jacket, which he admitted to stealing.
Oh.
So he was also under arrest for having stolen goods on him.
Wow, he's batting 1,000, isn't he? Indecent yeah. exposure,
drugs.
Drugs and theft and
yep.
whatever else he did.
All because he wanted to walk into a bar with his sex toys.
That must have sounded really good to him on paper. Like, oh, this is going to be so funny. This is going to be, you know, a great laugh.
And then I forgot to hide the illegal amphetamine.
Yeah. And to not admit to the police that I just stole something.
Whoops.
Or expose myself to a group of kids. These are horrible.
Yeah, that should have been your number one concern.
How did he go through all these steps and not once think, you know, this is a really bad idea?
Yeah, that's what the odd news is.
What an idiot.
That's the odd news.
What an idiot.
I've got another story for you. Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
What is the skin on a man's genitalia worth? Apparently.
What the hell, Rich? What is it with all these stories?
Apparently $4 million in Alabama.
What? This is so weird. What do you...
Here's the story behind that line.
You said male genitals, right?
Yeah.
$4 million.
Yep.
Why?
Kendrick Farms was ordered to pay up to more than $4 million more than 5 years after the skin on his employee Gerald Lyman's genitals was pulled off in a horrific tractor accident.
Oh, God. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What was it? What happened?
Lyman.
I just had it right up there against the gears, and all of a sudden it tore straight off.
Lyman was employed by Kendrick Farms as a temporary worker to install fencing on the day of the accident. Lawyers for the victim argued that his lack of training caused him to operate a machine improperly. He was
Is improperly a euphemism for naked?
No.
Okay.
He was holding onto the boom of a post hole digger when a drill bit struck a hard piece of the ground. When that happened, he lost his footing and his clothing was pulled into the drill along with his genitals.
Oh God. That's awful.
He lost his skin from his scrotum in the incident.
Oh my God. This is awful, Rich.
But the jury decided that because the farm's owner, Wiley Joe Kendrick, did not train him properly with the equipment, he is liable for the incident and has to pay him $4 million.
Oh, my God. This is awful. This is the worst story I've ever heard.
But he gets $4 million.
He does get because he got his scrotum torn off by a drill.
That's pretty bad.
Through his clothes.
That's pretty bad.
That's really bad. Oh, my God. Can $4 can $4 million buy him a new scrotum?
Probably. I'm sure there's some sort of prosthetic.
Could buy a Super Bowl ad with that.
Yeah. Oh my God, I didn't realize that. Yes.
Yes.
He can buy a Super Bowl ad with it.
I'm done. I quit. Going out on a high note. Good night, everybody. It all comes full circle. Oh, wow. Radical.
Oh my God. That's brilliant, Mike. I didn't even realize that. Yep. He can buy a Super Bowl ad. $4 million.
Wow. I'm so proud of myself.
So there you So there you go.
Lose a scrotum, get a Super Bowl ad. That's the trade-off, right?
Scrotum, Super Bowl ad. Scrotum, Super Bowl ad. Scrotum, Super Bowl ad.
Can I lose half a scrotum and only get half a Super Bowl ad?
Oh, that's not right.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it.
Ooh, I didn't even realize that. Good one, Mike. All right, you ready for our next story here?
Okay.
A singer with the Nashville Opera Company is suing the federal government, saying that a botched childbirth operation at a military post has threatened her career. Amy Herbst and her husband, former Army Sergeant Sergeant James Herbst, claimed that a nurse midwife at the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital caused her injuries during the birth of her son when the nurse performed an episiotomy to enlarge her birth opening. The couple claims that the nurse made the incision during the second stage of her labor without informing Herbst or getting her consent. But the primary reason that she is going to take this to court and fight it all the way through? Amy Herbst alleges that she cannot work as a professional opera singer anymore as a result of the excessive gas that she inadvertently allows from her opening after the surgery.
Wow. All right, then. That's embarrassing.
He's a common enemy. Kill him! Wow, that fired. I pressed the home button on my iPad. That did not. I don't know why that went off.
It was maybe a little appropriate, actually.
There's a common enemy. Kill him!
No!
There's a common enemy. Kill him! The Nashville Opera Company's website indicates that she is a mezzo-soprano and was an ensemble member that was supposed to be included in its upcoming production of Madame Butterfly. The couple is seeking $2.5 million in damages and costs, and it is officially filed, so this is going to court.
Wow. That's really embarrassing, though.
Yeah, to admit that.
Excessive gas, yeah.
I can't be on stage anymore.
That's awful. Oh, my God.
The Phantom of the Opera.
Now bring me prisoner 24601. Your time. Excuse me. I passed some gas. You know what that means. Yes, it means I'm gassy. No. It means you botched a surgery on me. Now I must sue you for $2.5 million.
24601.
Fart jokes and Les Mis, they go hand in hand.
Yeah, of course.
Everyone forgets the classic third act where everyone just passes gas for half an hour. I don't think it
everyone
ends with
everyone that survives.
Yeah, everyone that survives. There's like four people.
That is embarrassing, though. She has to admit that. But hey, maybe that'll help her in her case. Yeah.
Well, you know, she gets $2.5 million. She can just laugh at all the people. You know.
Let's go over the settlements here. $4 million for a scrotum. $2.5 million for farting all the time.
What's the next story going to be?
I don't know.
$3 million for explosive diarrhea. What other weird bodily functions can we get in here? Oh, my God. So far we've had people touching themselves, people suing for bodily functions. Where else can we go in odd news?
Oh, boy. That's weird.
Wow. You know, she could be like a sideshow act.
Yeah.
Like the opera singer that farts. La la la. Nice twist to a classic clip.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
And are you ready for our last story here?
We're already at the last one?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, man.
I know. These go by fast.
They do go by fast. All right, what do we got?
We've got more farts.
Are you serious?
Yep.
There's like a lot of themes going on here. We got genitals and farting are the two major themes so far.
Well, but this one is not from humans.
Okay.
A herd of dairy cows nearly lifted the roof off their barn in central Germany because, are you ready for this?
I'm assuming it has to do with farting because you just told me.
The methane gas from the cow's farts released by the animals mixed with a sparked from a milk production machine caused an actual explosion in Germany.
Going to milk the cows has become an action movie.
Police in the Hesse state of Germany said in a statement that firefighters had to put out flames that were sparked when methane from the unusually flatulent cows reacted with static energy from a massaging machine that was designed to increase milk production to cause the fire.
A massaging machine?
That was all one sentence, by the way. That was a lot to read.
There's a lot of things going on in this story. You have cows, which are farting uncontrollably. You have... I'm really interested in this massaging machine that you mentioned. What the hell is going on in these German barns?
Yeah, you need to see the massaging machines?
Yeah.
You want to see them?
Yeah. Massage. Don't know what else to say.
The roof was slightly damaged and one cow suffered light burns. Luckily, no people were hurt in the explosion. Police say that 90 cows were kept in the shed, and it wasn't clear why there was so much methane that had built up in the barn. Cow belching and flatulence releases large quantities of the dangerous methane gas.
It's just so random.
The cow farts mixed with static energy from a massaging machine.
Oh my God.
Cause that. I guess you could say cowabunga.
Oh. Oh.
Woo. So there
you go.
You
know what? That's how the Great Chicago Fire started.
A whole bunch of farts,
yeah. Oh my God. So the cows caused an explosion.
Yep.
That must have been startling for everyone. Jim Bob's like, well, he's German. Welp, I'm going to milk the cows. And then... There's gunfire now on the farm.
Apparently, if I leave the explosion go on, yeah, there's gunfire at some point.
The hell's that, a tornado?
That's the cows on a really bad day. That's when they've had Taco Bell.
That's like a lingering one, that last one.
It just rolls on.
We've never gotten that far in the explosion clip.
No. But there you go. That is what I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Farts can be dangerous. We joke about them, but they can be dangerous. Well, yeah,
it cost that lady her job, and then it blew up a barn in Germany. So, yep. PSA from the Crispy Noodle, don't fart.
You will
get fired, and then you will blow up a barn. So just hold it in. Oh my gosh. That's just ridiculous.
Yep, but it had to be said. And of course, had to be said in the non-fortune cookie odd news. Whew. Well, how about we get away from the fart talk and let's get to our recap portion of the show. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
'cause knowledge is power.
Woo. What have you learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, Mike?
I learned a lot, actually. Well, I always like to start with the last story. I learned that farting can be extremely dangerous.
Yep, that's right.
It can cost you your job and to blow up a barn in Germany. So, you know, look out for that. I also learned that if you lose a scrotum, you can get a Super Bowl ad.
Woo!
Because apparently skin for a scrotum costs $4 million. Who would have thought?
Mike did.
I did?
Yeah, you
oh, that's right. I came up with that. I also learned that people can't wait to touch themselves when they're getting McDonald's. It's just this urge that comes with greasy food. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get a Big Mac.
Yeah.
Got to go beat off now. Sorry, that's probably got to be bleeped.
Oh well.
Oh well. We learned that we don't know much about the Grammys.
Yeah, we don't know much about modern music. Sorry.
And to go along with that, I also learned that I really hate Justin Bieber. Like, an odd amount of hatred towards this punk-ass kid.
Yeah. So much show, so you're cursing at him. You cursed a lot in this episode. What the hell,
Mike? Did. This was a fiery episode. Yeah. Capped off by the firestorm in Germany.
Yeah.
With the farting cows.
Firestorm in Germany.
Oh, but what did you learn, Rich? Did you learn anything?
I can't get the image out of my head that a scrotum is worth $4 million. that won it.
Yeah, that was really good, that one. That was a good odd news story.
Yep.
They were all good odd news stories this week.
Yeah, there you go. Hey,
well, they're always good, but these were really good. I mean, you don't get better than scrotums and farting and naked people at McDonald's. I mean, that's what makes the odd news really take off, I think. That's what I learned.
There you go. That is what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
And there we go. The Daft Punk music, the record of the year right there in 8-bit form.
Yeah, the Grammy Award-winning Daft Punk.
Signs us off every episode. What a show, Mike.
Another great show. We talked Super Bowl and video games and crazy odd news. It was amazing.
Yep, nothing like Super Bowl and farts and...
Super Bowls and scrotums.
Super Bowl. You
gotta
scrotum.
Go with the alliteration. Alliteration is funny, Rich.
That's why we have you on the show, Mike.
For the alliteration.
You know how to put things together.
Woo. Oh, thank you. Oh.
Well, folks, there you go. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, make sure you go to the website, thecrispynoodle.com.
As we're fighting back laughs.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what we're gonna do here on the show. Make sure to like us on Facebook And follow us on Twitter at the Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also... You're holding it together.
Going.
You know what? You can probably find most of these clips on YouTube. They'll probably be up there eventually. Where you can subscribe to us and get highlights of all our past episodes. But most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free straight to your computer, your phone, your tablet, your MP3 player. So you can listen to this crazy outlandishness wherever you go, be it in the car, at work, at home, however... wherever, whenever you want to, the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
Of course, and with an episode like this one, how could you not want to subscribe to the latest when it gets released?
Exactly.
So yeah, make sure you do that on the iTunes so that you get the latest episode downloaded to whatever device you choose.
That's right.
We're not restrictive.
No. We're just so out of it.
Just like our scrotum. What a show, Mike.
I must say,
show.
There is a benefit to doing the show really late at night.
You never know what's coming around the bend.
Oh, boy.
If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo. But before we go, if you want your noodle extra crispy, make sure to listen to us on the Totally Entertainment. Jesus Christ. Listen to us on the Totally Driven Entertainment radio network on Block Talk Radio every Wednesday from 9 to 11 p.m. You can tune in and hear the show first. We ran out of freaking music.
There you go. Our ending took so long, we needed to go to our backup celebration music. How about that?
That's right. It's been a crazy night, to say the least.
When I have to go back into the archives and pull our original closing music because we ran out of time on the 8-bit Daft Punk music.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Just can't get under control here at the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, but you know what? We should get out of here.
Yeah.
Before any other shenanigans happen.
That's a good idea.
I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And we'll see you guys next week. Later!
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
There's a common enemy. Kill him!